right, everybody, welcome back to Inside the Locker, your home for discussion about sports and politics and film and fashion and, above all, Black Friday. Gentlemen, happy belated Thanksgiving to you guys. We hope everybody had a really pleasant and really lucrative and happy Thanksgiving break. But I got to ask you guys. You know, obviously, we saw the family, we ate, but I got to ask you guys, what did you buy on Black Friday? And I ask this because, like a lot of you fellas out there, I have to buy my wife a Christmas present, and I have not yet. It is December 3rd, I got to get on that, and I need some ideas. What'd you guys get?
I mostly buy a lot of Blu-rays. It's pretty much the only time of year that Arrow and Flash complete seasons go on sale.
$10, baby.
Yeah. The second season of Orange is the New Black was $5. Inside Out from Pixar was $10.
That's a good damn sale.
Yeah. Interstellar was $4 from Target. So, yeah.
Overpriced.
Yeah. It is kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, this is only $6. Sure, I'll buy San Andreas.
No, I picked
which
up.
Which I did.
I picked up If I Stay for $2.
Oh my god. Yeah. Elliot, what about you? What did you buy?
I picked up a lot of Disney Infinity stuff.
Okay.
Like I could actually bring it in.
For those that don't know, what is Disney Infinity?
It is a thing for mega nerds like me who love Disney and Marvel and Star Wars. Disney has basically said, we own all of this shit. Mm. So we're tired
because they do.
Of releasing a different game every 6 months for all our properties coming out. So what we're going to do is we're going to make one mega game, a platform, and every time a movie comes out, we're going to release a pack that goes to this game. Hmm. And to get this pack, you have to buy an action figure that you put into this base station and it scans it. It's a toy that it scans and all of a sudden that character appears in your game. So for instance, like Good Dinosaur. Instead of making a Good Dinosaur game, they just unveiled like a 4-disc like pack with some skins to say, here's some stuff from Good Dinosaur and a character. So it's actually more economical for them. But the good thing is they hired a really good sculptor when they had these action figures made. Because the art style is, it's like, it's better than Bruce Timm on DC Animated. Which is high praise coming from me because, like, it's very stylized. But it's stylized in a way that gives you a lot of detail with clean lines. Because, mm-hmm. like, I only started playing this game, because it's a kid's game. I only started playing this game because I like the action figures. Because, like, they had the Hulkbuster. Like a cheap version for like $10.
I saw that it was good looking.
It's a good looking action figure. So I was like,
no. I just want to say for anybody out there, let's talk about we don't keep it real with the geeks. we keep it pretty 100.
Like if they want proof, I can go to my car right now because I got this shit before I went to work. I went to my mailbox. I got 8 Disney Infinity action figures in my backseat right now. I got Jasmine, Aladdin, Anna, Elsa,
who's
Stitch.
Anna?
From Frozen.
Okay.
Because, like, they were, like, $4 on Black Friday at Walmart, so I just ordered them. Because, like, they're usually 13.
That's a good deal.
I still haven't seen Frozen.
It's so good!
I know. I feel like I need to at least to relate to my nieces.
Like, the song over... That song is the least good thing about that movie.
So, real quick. Penny, you're going to have to knock it the fuck off. So, we ordered some Papa John's pizza, and my dog wants them. I am so rude, I forgot to introduce everybody. My name is Ramon Ramirez. With me, as always, JC De Leon.
What's up?
Elliot Fontanet.
It's your boy, Bobby Ray. Your boy, Jason 11, also known as Tiger 7. What's up?
And Penny the dog is in the house, barking away. So, bye,
and
guys.
Logan Urie.
We got a lot to unpack.
Also to me.
Whoa, hold up. Logan, you're Black Friday. What did you get on Black Friday? This man got some sick shit.
No, I went and bought a bunch of shit for my kitchen. I bought a new cutting board.
Oh.
Nice bamboo cutting board.
Get an adult son.
I bought a knife sharpener so I can keep my shit sharp.
That's some fiancé level shit.
It is. And then I proceeded to cook gumbo all day.
What did you put in your gumbo?
I did it with turkey, leftover turkey carcass. I made that up into a nice turkey stock.
But you didn't put...
That's right.
Did you put tomatoes in your gumbo?
I did not.
Thank you.
I did it. I did it with bacon fat, flour,
the straight fire,
turkey, some sausage.
See, this man knows what he's doing. You don't put fucking tomatoes in gumbo.
It was my first time doing it, so I just followed the recipe. I don't know.
Did you Google? Like, it was like you looked up the recipe. And
I did. I was like, what do I do with this giant turkey carcass left?
That's
over?
That's awesome, man. So
besides, fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you guys gave me some stuff to think about,
and it was fucking delicious.
I didn't buy anything on Black Friday. I think I just never get around to them. All right, so
I can give you some advice.
All right, real quick.
Does your wife work in an office?
Yes.
I tell you, Funko Pop has a lot of like little off figures you can put in your office from like a lot of different pop culture things. If there's something she likes that you think there wouldn't be a figure for, there might be for, because like Funko Pop has a lot of contracts with a lot of different like third parties.
Does she like any kind of nerdy things?
Yeah, any at all. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Even like, what's that one with the two brothers who drive around and solve Supernatural? They even have Supernatural stuff.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, I think this is pretty...
or you could just let her hang out with Penny all day.
That's awesome, guys.
Or you could be like, my presence is a present.
All right, so we got a lot to unpack, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Josh Norman, Carolina Panthers cornerback, who has maybe the geekiest in-game habit of anyone in the NFL and maybe sports. JC, why don't you elaborate?
He's really into movies. And so, first of all, he's quickly becoming one of the best corners in the league, if not the best corner. He's the guy who, it was week 4 or 5, returned a pick six against James Winston. And a few days before that, had called the league office and said, hey, this is the celebration I'm going to do when I pick six James Winston. Am I going to get fined? And knowing that he was going to pick six James Winston, and he did. He got fined anyway. He's the guy over Thanksgiving that said Dez Bryant should give his $70 million back because he shut down Dez Bryant. So, yeah, he's quickly becoming one of the best corners in the league, and he's really into movies. And
He's crossing his T's and dotting his I's.
Yeah. And so every Sunday he watches a movie to psych himself up, and he pretends to be a movie character throughout the entire game.
Yes.
There was a game in September in which he was pretending to be Achilles from the movie Troy, played by Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And it was repeatedly heard throughout the game screaming, there are no pacts between lions and men.
Yes!
That's fantastic. So Josh Norman, he is, are we going to put him in the ITL Hall of Fame?
He is in the Hall of Fame.
He's one of our guys. Now, speaking of, no, this is actually a terrible transition, but I wanted to talk about it anyway. We should probably comment on the Batman against Superman trailer that was released this week. By all accounts, this movie is going to be terrible and an embarrassment.
It's
going to
be bad.
But how bad was it? I need the expert opinion. How bad was that trailer?
It was actually the worst it could be, because it gives people false hope like all Zack Snyder films do. Because like parts of it look really good, but the minute they have like dialogue that's not the two main characters, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Like they make Lex Luthor like some wacky... They make him full Jesse Eisenberg. So they don't dial it down. It's just like, wow, you need some medication, man. You need to just sort of calm the fuck down a little bit. And I say it's to somebody on medication.
So I'm actually probably going to be in the minority in that. I've been excited about this movie. And the previous trailer, I thought was a really good trailer. And this trailer, I'll admit, isn't the best. It's not going to temper my excitement for the movie. It's not going to make me think it's going to be a bad movie. Because the things it reveals, I just feel like there's too much left in the movie that's going to be good. And I'm still excited.
But I feel like you're projecting. You're like, those are your hopes. I'm saying, like, have you seen Watchmen?
But also, isn't that what fandom is
about? I'm a Zack Snyder fan, and I like all his movies.
You like Watchmen?
Yeah.
The hallelujah scene where they're having sex in the flying car, and at the climax, a flamethrower is true. That's good to you.
I mean,
I don't think anything he's ever done is redeemable. But
so Sucker Punch.
But
I do like Sucker Punch.
Oh, okay.
but nothing. I don't know. That Superman. Okay, but the Superman movie was like the worst, right? Like that was the worst movie of the last 5 years. Superman movie.
It wasn't. It was like a mirage, because the first act is really good, but then the last act he just forgets that he's supposed to care about people, and is like, man, fuck it, I'm gonna just destroy everything. Now they can retroactively make that movie better if Superman versus Batman, they go, the only reason Wonder Woman and all those people are showing up is they're like, hey, you need to actually fucking worry about the people instead of just destroying the fucking city. Mm-hmm. If they do that, they'll retroactively make the first movie better, because they'll be like, oh, he didn't know what he was doing.
I gotta say, I think you're wrong, I think everything about that movie was just the worst movie I've ever seen. The worst movie. So I think this movie's going to be a shameful, dark day for America.
But at least we'll have a good movie coming out right next to it in Captain America Civil War.
All right, so let me ask you guys. See, that movie looks just ridiculous.
It's going to be great.
It looks borderline idiotic. I don't know. I enjoy Age of Ultron a great deal. And I trust the people making it, so it'll probably be all right. But that trailer looks
what?
Absurd and stupid.
The part where Winter Soldier and Captain America just beating the shit out of Iron Man, that's an awesome scene.
I don't know, man. It's just like, you know, I started to become cynical about Star Wars when I read that by contract there has to be, like, when Disney was like these movies are so reverse engineered that they're just an exercise in marketing, right? So like the Disney movie, Disney said, hey, you know, do this, and this, and we need a scene where somebody passes down a lightsaber. We got to have that scene. So it's all note cards. It's all like paint by the numbers, execute.
But it could be forward. Like, you know, this could be stuff that people have been wanting to see. Like, it's thematic. It's like, you know, we need to see the passing of the torch for the new franchise to take off.
Look, I'm going to go see the Star Wars movie. I'm into it.
At 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m. on opening day. That's a true story about my tickets for 6 a.m. opening day for the Star Wars movie. But
God, I hope it sucks so bad.
I might end up joining you in
that. Why do you hope it sucks?
Because it's going to be so funny. Like, I'm a Star Trek fan.
We're going to get 20 years of this shit. You might as well be okay. They're selling movies based on like ideas, right? Like the fucking, you know, at the very beginning of Star Wars, the original, they say that like some rebels stole these plans for this thing.
And this Rogue One.
So then you're like, okay, that's a movie.
Yeah.
We want a young Han Solo movie. That's a movie. We want a movie about Chewbacca's long lost daughter. That's a movie. We want a movie about like, you know, the water people and the fucking Phantom Menace. So.
That's called Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation. So, I don't know, man. I think it's all bullshit. Speaking of bullshit, Kobe Bryant on his way out of the NBA. Well, hold on. Let me just ask you guys this. What does Batman and Superman, like, what is left for them? Just like, what excitement can they bring about in this movie? Like, we know what's going to happen. We know who's going to be in it. What's left to show us?
I mean, genuine animosity. Because, like, even in Civil War, Captain America and Tony and Iron Man, they may not like each other, but they don't hate each other. Mm-hmm. Like, at the beginning of this, like, it looks like Batman and Superman legitimately just hate the shit out of each other. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, just have a true, like, I just do not like this person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just seeing animosity between two people that, you know, by the third act will become buddies.
Well, like, in that trailer, like, Clark Kent goes, you know, well, wouldn't you think that Batman's a vigilante? And Batman just, like, has his quip, like, I forgot the exact words, like, right back at him. He's like, yeah, you say Batman's so bad, but every time Superman, like, saves a puppy, you write a puff piece. Yeah. And it's just like, just if they can really focus on that, and, like, pointing out where each of them is full of shit, that'd be great, because that's what I think Civil War's going to try to do, is like, look, you can say that you want freedom, but who are you accountable to for Captain America? But then on the same side of Iron Man, it's like, well, okay, you want to be accountable to somebody, but what happens if they tell us to go attack a foreign country? Do we do that?
What's the point of Civil War?
It's after Civil War. After Age of Ultron with Sokovia, where it's entirely due to the Avengers and mostly Iron Man, the world almost got destroyed. So the nations of the world come together at the UN. They say, look, we have accords that govern when we activate the Avengers. And the entire UN Security Council has to agree so that the Avengers don't just operate without any oversight.
Okay.
But the problem is they get Thunderbolt Ross, who was the villain in The Incredible Hulk, to be their liaison.
Oh, so that's...
You get a different liaison, it works completely differently.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting.
Wait, which I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around the movie plot of that, because I just finished reading the comic book plot of that, and it was quite a bit different.
Well, they're just using the name for sensationalism.
Yeah. What was different?
Oh, Comic Book Civil War was... there was a superhuman registry after a group called the New Warriors confronted villains that they weren't ready for. They blew up an entire town.
Mm. Including right next to an elementary school.
Yep, blew up an elementary school. So the government says, hey, y'all need to fucking tell us who you are, so we can, you know, regulate you. And Captain America says, well, go fuck yourself. I'm not getting registered. I don't think anybody should have to get registered, because if they are a superhero, we should be thankful what they're doing. Iron Man goes, well,
we have to protect our identities and
yeah.
protect our families and loved ones.
Yeah, whereas Iron Man goes, what we should be regulated. They have a big fight, but Mark Millar, to like sort of bend the narrative to his will, makes Iron Man a fuck Iron Man, Hank Pym, and Mr. Fantastic into villains, because they start hiring villains to hunt down heroes.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if a portion of that is going to be with Spider-Man. Because somebody pointed out that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as it is, now that Spider-Man is going to be in it, Spider-Man is the only one with a secret identity. Yeah. Everybody else knows who all the superheroes are.
That's probably going to be the nod to it. They're probably going to be like, it's probably going to be like a 5-minute scene with Spider-Man, and that's going to be it. Penny!
Got the crab.
Penny's going first.
You know, sometimes dogs just start digging in the water bowl. You know, they get to the bottom of the drink and they just start digging. Well, that's fascinating, guys. I'm back in. You have convinced me.
Because I filibustered for a second there. Right. Jesus.
Now I want to talk about Kobe Bryant. We should mention him very briefly. One of the great
ball hogs.
Ball hogs. Ah, you know, one of the best, you know, one of the 10 best basketball players. I don't know, JC, where would you rank Kobe on the list of like best all-time ballers? Top 10?
Gotta be top 10. Yeah, definitely top 10. If I had to really think about it for a long time and kind of write it all out, maybe top 5, but yeah, definitely top 10.
Well, sorry. So one of the elite players. Also one of those players that never really
Connected.
He had a hard time connecting left and right. Obviously, Lakers fans loved him. Obviously, you know, it was a situation where he, because of his personality, you never felt like you knew who you were watching. You always felt like he was a little bit too packaged and a little too put together. We were talking earlier, right? The Black Mamba thing. It's something that he basically gave himself a nickname.
After you watch Kill Bill.
And then he like sat down with like Nike and was like, okay, this is going to be my nickname. And it's a little bit, you know, and like right now, latter years Kobe, he's a little bit too focused on his legacy.
Yeah.
And just, you know, super self-aware, wants to sort of talk about every aspect of his career. So he's filtering everything through the Kobe, the Kobe perspective.
Did he end up with, what, 3 championships?
He wound up with,
he ended up with 5.
Really? 5?
Yeah. Huh. The 3 with the Phil Jackson Lakers, and then he won 2 in, like, 2009 and 2010.
I think he's just a study, even though he has 5 championships, just in, like, area, like, pride goeth before the fall. So he could have won more if he would have put his pride away a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can make the argument that he won 3 with Shaq, and after he kind of forced Shaq out, which is something nobody's ever really admitted to, but that's pretty much what he did. The Lakers were good, but they weren't anywhere near championship level, and it wasn't until Jerry West gifted Pau Gasol to the Lakers in a really lopsided trade that then they won in 2009, 2010, because at the time, Pau Gasol was the best power forward in the game. And so, you can make the argument that if it weren't, that Kobe always needed that second fiddle, which is kind of...
No, everybody needs a second fiddle.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen was an amazing player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scottie Pippen was amazing. When Dennis Rodman came to the Bulls at his most kind of troubled and cheap, he would, you know, they became just about unstoppable. They won 72 games. But, all right. I don't know, though. I think, that's a little bit of a what-if kind of a thing. I mean, you know, imagine Kobe and Shaq stay together. 2005 finals are completely different. 2006 finals are completely different. Obviously, you know, the 05 and 06 are completely different years, and I think they had 3 to 4 more titles in them together. So it is kind of incredible that they separated, that it didn't pan out, and now Kobe, this guy that we always knew is this like phenom. Boy, the class of 1996 high schoolers, man, Shareef Abdul-Rahim, Kobe Bryant, countless ballers, Ray Allen. There you go, Kobe.
It's just it's like it's sort of a, you know, for me it's sort of an end of an era, because he was the last player that really debuted when I was still like in high school.
Well, let me ask you this, because we're talking 96 NBA draft, and we had guys like, I mean, you know, Zydrunas Ilgauskas. We had guys like, I don't know, Sean Harvey, Daron Sheffer, but the top tier. Jermaine O'Neal, Steve Nash, Peja Stojakovic, Kobe, Eric Dampier, Kerry Kittles, Antoine Walker, Steph Marbury, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Marcus Camby, Allen Iverson.
Wow. Yeah.
Who do you take first in that draft?
I mean, knowing what we do, what we know now, Kobe would still be first.
Yeah, he went 13th in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never take Allen Iverson.
Oh God.
Ever.
Allen Iverson's one of the best players of all time.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
One of the greatest. Oh God.
What has he won?
Oh my God.
What has he won?
Oh my God.
He won the 2000 MVP.
Did he win a championship?
The championship thing is, so there's so many players that don't win.
But here's the thing. There's a difference between playing in an era where you have a dominant player where you're not going to win, and being so selfish and so short-sighted that you can't win.
No, that's just not. That's just
we
not
talk about practice. Practice.
That's the thing. Yeah, people are gonna highlight one thing like that. LeBron's always going to have the not one, not two, not three thing thrown up in his face. Like that's and something he obviously shouldn't. It's something he shouldn't have said, but it's not anything he should be condemned for forever.
I'm not saying condemned, but I'm saying recognize that you're in a team game. You can be the star, but you have to function within that team. And if you're so good,
Within the team.
No, he didn't.
He dragged terrible teams to the NBA Finals. And then just one of the, you know, you can also, you know, the one that I like is that he's pound for pound the best player of all time. Because that dude was a little guy.
For being as small as he was, he's one of the most prolific scorers.
6 feet. 165 pounds.
Yeah.
Just one of the
greats. He's the Mighty Mouse of basketball.
And the other thing is that, you know, he's had
I wouldn't mind that title.
He's had gambling problems. He's had personal problems. That has nothing to do with his ability on the court. So, yeah, we're one of the greats. We'll always love Allen Iverson. All right. Now, you guys had kind of a funky topic that I'll let you guys introduce. Basically, this is a sort of big picture thematic discussion, but it is timely and it is on brand, and we're going to discuss it right now.
Yeah, so on the heels of Creed, which is a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely go out and see it.
I gotta see that Creed. I haven't seen that Creed.
I'm seeing it on Saturday.
Oh, I gotta see that Creed.
It's essentially, even though it's starting a new franchise, it's essentially the seventh Rocky film. And so I got to thinking, you know, movie franchises are always referred to as what they are, franchises, and it's what we call teams throughout their history and franchises. And so I thought about Rocky, there being seven movies, six of them are good, if not great.
Yeah.
And then one you could just totally dismiss. And so I'm not sure what kind of winning percentage that is, but it's really high. Not so much focused on the percentage, the numbers and the percentage, just, you know, how many of the movies are great versus how many are bad. And so I got to thinking, which sports franchise is similar to that? Rocky, for all intents and purposes, thank you, is 85%. Rocky, for all intents and purposes, has been a dominant movie franchise, if you will, because it was an Oscar darling when it first came out in the 70s.
It won Best Picture, yeah.
Yeah. Since the 70s. And so, you know, I thought about which teams have been dominant for that long.
Hmm.
And, I mean, any number of teams I can come up with, but, like, you're the football expert. Who would you equate a franchise that's been dominant since the 70s?
Well, I mean, you know, there's two.
Circle in and out of relevance.
There's two. It's the Cowboys and the Steelers. But maybe the Steelers a little bit more because they've won. They've been to X amount of Super Bowls and they've been a little bit more relevant lately. So Pittsburgh is probably the team that you would pick for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about a franchise like Harry Potter?
Ooh, you're talking about there are eight movies in the Harry Potter franchise.
Eight movies.
And there's only one that's even middling, and that's the serpent tongue or whatever, the second one.
Second one.
Mm-hmm. Like that was just the Chamber of Secrets, yeah. That one's just sort of boring, but it's not bad. So we're talking about just a relentlessly dominant team. I tell you, they gotta be the Celtics. Like what? Just the old school Celtics. I'm talking about like the ones who were winning all the championships for a long time, who now are out of repair, and they're about to come back. If they get the new LSU player, I'm stealing a line from JC right now.
Mr. diehard LSU fan, what's the LSU player's name?
I don't know. I said I'm stealing a line. Hey, I didn't front. I said I was stealing a line.
So, all right. Well, yeah, I mean, but I think the better parallel, and JC, you mentioned this earlier too, the Spurs, right? Yeah. Have been good since the late 90s, have taken over the game. And Harry Potter, since the late 90s, is the biggest franchise in the world.
Well, sure, if you want to be right.
It's just the big, yeah, it's not as good, as like some, I don't know, Harry Potter's the shit. Harry Potter's better than anything Marvel ever.
No, but I think you're, because like the Spurs, like they're very derivative. Like they just see what works and they do that.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, it's, I like Harry Potter. I think it's a great franchise, but it is derivative. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I have a problem with Harry Potter is I can always see where they're pulling from.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like the third, I think it's the third movie.
Sounds with like the Spurs.
Yeah, with a time turner.
Mm-hmm.
I could quote you like five different sources for that plot device. And it's like, okay, you pulled that plot device and you made it work within your world. That's cool, but there's nothing original in Harry Potter. Especially if you know anything about Neil Gaiman and books of magic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about Aliens? So, well, first, do you consider Prometheus in the Alien franchise?
It has to be.
Okay. So that's five movies.
Anybody who doesn't think that is just an apologist.
Right. Okay, so that's five movies. How many of those five do you think are good?
Oof. I'm thinking two?
Really?
Two and a half. Because Aliens 3, it has the guy from Rock. Rock, for y'all youngins who don't know.
Charles S. Dutton?
Yeah, it was a series for black folk in the mid-90s that was fucking awesome. It was like the anti-Cosbys.
And if you're not familiar with Rock or Charles S. Dutton, he's the wise black man from Rudy.
Yeah. And like his character is great in that movie, but the shit they do with Ripley makes no fucking sense in Alien 3. So like, I give it 2.5 out of 5.
Okay. The first 2.5 were pretty awesome.
And then you got Winona Ryder in 4, and then you got...
The fourth one was bad. Yeah. Fourth one was just a classic, you know, we're going to go here, there's a battle, half these people die, then we're going to go here, there's a little battle, half these people die, and then there's like three people at the end. Yeah,
can we count Mockingjay Part 2, like, since they completely rip off Aliens during a part of that movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
What do they rip off in the Mockingjay?
They rip off the, the part in Aliens, the second one where... Vasquez and all the space marines are going through that corridor, and they have like the machine that reads out where the alien is.
Yeah.
Hunger Games, they're in a sewer part. It's complete same scene. They have these things chasing them, and they have a little machine that tells them how close they are, and they even use the same camera angles with like a huge gun, like the auto gun that Vasquez has, that one that straps onto her.
Yeah.
That it's the same thing. It's like the exact same scene.
I'm kind of all right with that. I wouldn't mind watching that again.
All right, so what sports franchise is that?
Alien. So, good in the late 70s, early 80s. Haven't done anything since.
The 76ers?
The Knicks.
No, I like that.
I was thinking on a similar thing with Indiana Jones, same kind of thing, where it was good in the late 70s, early 80s. Been poor lately. Excuse me. Charismatic leading man in the early period, and then it's just kind of... The young blood in the recent years has been shit. Is Indiana Jones with the 49ers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because it's like Steve Young and Joe Montana back in the day.
They had the last gasp, and they fell short and bad. Yeah.
You bring up a Lucas property, let's talk about just the elephant in the room, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, you got great to middling, like, great first two movies. Third movie, passable. Still good, still satisfying, but a noticeable drop in quality. Then you get to the late 90s. The first two movies are just sort of shit. The third one comes back a little bit. And now you have a new hope. So, like, what do you... Like, who compares to those?
Well, I mean, time will tell on what their eventual plan is, but...
50 Star Wars movies.
the 76ers have a grand plan in that they're the worst team in the league right now, obviously.
They're thinking of a master plan.
They're looking for a new hope, if you will, in a guy like Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is the guy from LSU.
I'm a basketball player like my father.
Yeah. And you think of the Philadelphia 76ers, and like a lot of my memories are like, even though he was a little bit before I was born, but I went back and saw highlights. Dr. J.
Yeah.
Moses Malone.
Yeah.
Barkley was my favorite player as soon as I discovered basketball when he was still a 76er. And I loved Iverson, as we just talked about. And so, yeah, I think that's an apt comparison. I like with Adam. Everyone may notice Adam isn't here today. When I sent out the email with this topic, he suggested Toy Story with a 100% winning percentage because they are young, vibrant, exciting, fun. And what's funny about his email is this was a few days ago and undefeated as of this recording.
Golden State?
Yeah.
And then he put in parentheses probably, and they are still undefeated.
But it's like it's a franchise we all sort of want to see fail a little bit.
We've talked about this. We don't like the light-skinned dudes. don't.
Yeah, fuck you, Ron, from a different world.
I harbor resentment towards Toy Story 3 because I felt like it should have, that How to Train Your Dragon should have won the animated Oscar that year.
Oh, man. If it wasn't for that last scene in Toy Story 3 where they faced their fucking death, I'd be with you.
Oh, that,
you
that death where they were obviously never going to kill.
No, I thought they were going to die. Like they fucking start holding hands as they're heading towards a fire.
Yeah.
And like,
you know what's funny? You know what's like the funniest thing? Somebody like recut Toy Story so that that was like right after, you know, because it fades to black.
Yeah.
And so they recut it so that like after that the credits start rolling.
Yes.
And then they showed it to like it, like he gave it to his mom. And his mom like watched it. She's like, what? She was like so upset.
I want to show that cut to like a kindergarten class.
Yeah, just the that's the end of the movie.
The child therapist cut.
What?
it's like the same thing as like a cardiologist like giving out McDonald's coupons.
Toy Story 3 was pretty good. I didn't get your joke. What was your joke?
it's very traumatic. They're gonna get a lot of business off of it.
Okay, got it.
Plus, like, it's the only Disney movie with Totoro in it, so I gotta give it that, too.
I loved Toy Story 3. I didn't watch How to Train Your Dragon.
It's so good.
I bet it's pretty good, right? Right? Pretty.
It's like if E.T. became a better movie.
That's like, possible.
It's that. The soundtrack is amazing. The animation is great.
So who's E.T.? Like, should have been 20 E.T. movies. We got one.
Because, like, they
so a great team that was cut down in its prime, and
the Lakers.
No, because the Lakers got multiple titles. Mm-hmm. The kind of thing where you're like, we should have seen five of these titles.
Yeah. But the Seahawks.
The Seahawks. Yeah, they only won one.
The Seahawks, yeah.
The Seahawks are the E.T.
Because they got a punk ass at the top of their list.
Why didn't we get 30 E.T.? Like, why is E.T. not a trilogy? Like, there should have been. I mean, the marketing on that,
especially the way it began with, like, there obviously being way more of the creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, I'm thankful that we didn't get more E.T.s. Because my name is Elliot. In that fucking movie,
Elliot
sucks. Because, like, they're like, did your mom name you after fucking E.T.? No, go fuck yourself.
You know, it's funny. My mom watched E.T. in the theater when she was pregnant with me. And she fell asleep throughout the whole movie. She woke up at the end when E.T. leaves. And then she just started crying. She didn't watch any of it.
I tell you, like, the only movie I ever cried in my entire life, and I was, like, 11 at the time, was Free Willy. For some reason, that movie just got to me, and I was like, I was just bawling. And my dad was like, looking at me because he was there. He's like, "What the fuck are you crying for?" Exact words.
So Free Willy, Free Willy was great. All right,
Free Elliot.
Do we got any more?
No. I think we're good.
If any of the listeners have any suggestions for franchises and sports comparisons,
I got
one more.
All right.
This is gonna be the last one. But you talk about South Park.
Okay.
This is a team that has been continuously great, but is starting to buy into their bullshit a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
In the last season, because like the last season of South Park, they have been around so long. I think the world has sort of passed them by.
So you're saying that Trey Parker and Matt Stone are getting a little too full of themselves.
They're getting a little up their own ass. All
right.
It's like they're so like libertarian that they're missing the point of a lot of their arguments that they're trying to pick. So it's like sort of a franchise that's been great forever that now is starting to get a little bit too into itself. I got to say the Yankees.
I like that. Yeah. Dominant for a long time. I mean, that's the timestamp doesn't work, but I get your point. No, that's good shit. All right. Should we do our NFL picks?
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, these picks, I feel bad. I feel like... We just haven't been doing well. Or maybe winning? That's just me.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah,
I forgot to tally it up for last week, so next week I'll have an updated number, but we'll go ahead and make picks now.
I tell you what's been a revelation is that the Texans have started winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
understand that.
Well, hold on. So we do that, we should pull up the NFL standings, because this is kind of when we look at who's alive and who's still standing, and we need to sort of like, you know, who's in it, who's not in it, who's good, who's bad. This is pretty easy. These teams are all dead in the water. All right, Dolphins are dead. The Ravens, the Browns are dead. The Chargers are dead. The Jaguars and the Titans are dead. The Saints are done. The Lions are mathematically out of it. The Cowboys are out of it, even though they're not technically out of it. the Rams and 49ers are done. So that's about half the league. I want to ask you guys.
I have to say, that's a really weird list this year. Yeah. I feel like it's one of the first years, like, there's so many
good teams that you think would be there.
Yeah.
Well, Tampa Bay's not out of it?
Tampa Bay is not out of it. And I want to ask you guys. So the Patriots, the Bengals, the Broncos, and the Panthers, and the Cardinals. Those are probably the five best teams. Those teams are all 9-2 or better. We're not going to talk about them. We know that they're very good. But I'm going to ask you guys, contender or pretender? And I'll just sort of run through this very quickly. Now. The Seattle Seahawks, they are 6-5.
Pretender.
Yeah, I don't see them coming back.
Yeah, just ghost of wins past.
Ghost of wins past. Not a candidate for the playoffs?
They're going to get to the playoffs, but they're just going to shit the bed.
Yeah, they're too inconsistent these days.
Like, Richard Sherman needs to, like, just, like, buck up and play.
All right, the Green Bay Packers. Up and down offensive line problems. 7-4 as of this recording. Maybe 7-5 shortly after this. Two games back on the Vikings in the NFC North. Are they contenders or pretenders?
Pretenders.
I mean, yeah, Minnesota could still... Are you talking about overall, like, Super Bowl champions, or just, like...
We're talking, like, can they get to the playoffs and make noise?
Yeah, they're still legit, I think.
The 7-5 Packers that are about to lose to the Lions for the second time this season.
Only just because, I mean, they can in that division, they can get to the playoffs, and I think maybe they might make noise once in the playoffs.
So, yeah. I also think that they're a better team than their schedule, or than their record suggests. But, yeah... It's going to be an uphill battle.
I think the Packers have some serious problems. We'll see what comes in. All right, the Falcons are 6-5.
Done.
Sputtering out of control. Done. Yeah. They've lost four in a row.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to say that it's good. But they still have a winning record this late in the season. It's all you can ask for if you're an NFL team. They have a lot of talent. But
I say contenders. They're the type of team that I think is really streaky.
Uh-huh.
If they get hot and healthy, that sounds like a porn.
Okay.
If they get hot at the right time, like, I think they can really make a run deep into the playoffs.
Now, none of these teams are good, but is any NFC East team going to do something in the playoffs? And if so, who? While you guys think of that, and let me remind you, for those that don't know, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants, the Redskins, obviously you guys know that. Currently, the Redskins are in first place.
Yeah.
At 5-6, playing Dallas on Monday night.
Jesus Christ.
The Giants should be better than they are. We keep expecting New York to take control of that division, and they just cannot do it. The Eagles are 4-7. They're out of it. We're done talking about them. So, Giants or Washington, who do you guys like? I like the Giants. I think the Giants eventually get there, get it done, and we can move forward.
Yeah, there's enough talent there. There's enough veterans there.
There's enough LSU receivers there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Giants in that division.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we talked about
it. It's so fucking bizarre, though, man. How can you predict this kind of, like, schedule or this kind of, like, layout for it?
These are all bad teams with problems.
Yeah.
And whoever fucks up the least down the stretch is going to get a meaningless home playoff game that will make them a lot of money. All right. The AFC South, it's the Colts, it's the Texans. Andrew Luck isn't healthy, but the Colts have won 3 in a row. The Texans have won 4 in a row.
Took down the Bengals.
Took the Bengals to the wire. Took them down on Monday night. Good talent on the defensive front. The offense isn't really doing anything now. Colts, the Texans are so relevant that all of a sudden the next week's Sunday night game got flexed to Texans Patriots. Mm-hmm. So, who you guys like? And can any of these teams do anything?
I gotta still go with the Colts. Like, the Texans, they're gonna do just enough for O'Brien to keep his job,
mm-hmm.
and they're gonna try to get a good quarterback. Like, I think that's what they need to focus. They need to just give the. They need to intentionally lose as many games as they can.
That's just never realistic. You can't ask people when it's their job to. I mean, I get that long term, but people compete, people scheme, so we can't.
I'm not saying the players need to.
And they have a winning record in December. What are you talking about? Lose?
I'm saying. The GM needs to tell the coach, like, look, don't try to win so we can get a good quarterback off of it. Because, like, there's some good quarterbacks coming out of college this year.
Mm.
Excuse me. Penny! Knock it off. So you like the Texans. You like the Colts. JC, yeah. What do you like?
Yeah, I'd like Hasselbeck to kind of, you know...
Keep the luck train moving.
Keep the boat steady and Andrew Luck to come back healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Colts have an easier schedule down the stretch, and I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think the Colts should be expected to win the division. Raiders, everyone's favorite team that it would be cool if they were like 7-4 and they were a contender for the playoffs, but it doesn't seem like they are. We can't talk about them anymore. But we can talk about the Chiefs. Chiefs have won 5 in a row. Won a big winner-go-home game against Buffalo last weekend. Eye on the 5 or 6 seed. One of the best teams cooking right now. Are the Chiefs a team that can challenge people in the AFC?
If Peyton was still there throwing up wild ducks the way he had been all year, then I'd say the Chiefs could come back and take it, but Osweiler seems all right, and so I think he's going to keep Denver afloat.
Yeah, that defense is too good.
We're talking about the Chiefs, you guys.
Oh, they're talking about Denver.
Chiefs have won 5 in a row. Denver's won 2. But that is interesting. I mean, you're right. All of a sudden, a 9-2 Denver Broncos team, you would have said, oh, man, Peyton Manning's doing his thing. This team's very good. I got to see this. But the reality is that all of a sudden you have a first-year starter taking over late. You can't realistically expect him to do a whole heck of a lot, even if they end up hosting a playoff game.
It could be a Steve Young situation, where when Steve Young went in for Montana, like, he made his place.
What? It took Steve Young years and years and years of puttering around to be any kind of a relevant force. Yeah. Brock Osweiler's a 30-year player. He's 25 years old. He's got a gun, and he seems like a hell of a player and a fine young gentleman, but I think the Broncos are not going to be able to win the Super Bowl. But the Chiefs, I think, can upset a team like if this Kansas City team played in Denver in the divisional round, I would take Kansas City. I think Kansas City's really good, and I think we got to watch out for them. Borderline elite team. Pittsburgh Steelers, 6-5, just lost a tough one on the road at Seattle. This is a team that always feels like it's playing a little bit down. Marcus Weed, Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown. No one is more efficient and impressive as a receiving unit. D'Angelo Williams is a great stand-in for Le'Veon Bell. Everything that Big Ben does works. But this team has one glaring weakness, and that's its secondary. But its run defense is improving in ways that it hasn't been this good in 2 to 3 years. Pittsburgh is for real. I just don't know if they're good enough to make noise in the playoffs. But they're the Steelers. They get cooking and people know them. What do you guys think?
They'll get to the playoffs, but they're not going to do anything.
Yeah, I think there's too many good teams in that conference. I don't think that they'll make any noise.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really trusted the Steelers. I've never trusted that they're going to come through whenever you think that they will. They're just always one of those teams that feel like it's going to always let you down. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like we're like quoting a Boyz II Men song.
Yeah.
How do I mean in the AFC East, this division, I mean, it seems pretty wrapped up. New England's 10-1, Jets are 6-5. New England has a hold on the division, but they have a lot of injuries.
Got a hold.
Yeah. They have a huge hold on the division.
Yeah. But they have a lot of injuries, and so if the question is whether or not they're going to make noise in the playoffs, I mean, it depends on how healthy Gronk stays and if they can't lose any more receivers, because they're down to Brandon LaFell and Danny Amendola,
pretty Jesus.
Much. Yeah. Jesus. I don't know.
Whoa!
It's a weird year.
Wait a second! Did Green Bay just win it on the last second play?
Holy shit. we're watching...
Fuck you, Detroit.
We're watching the Green Bay-Detroit game, and it looks like Green Bay just won on a... What was that? Was that a Hail Mary?
It was a Hail Mary.
It was a 61-yard touchdown reception by Richard Rodgers. Oh. You guys got to show a little more professionalism, guys. Come on. We're in the middle of recording a podcast.
Professionalism. Oh, professionalism. Do I get paid for this?
You get pizza.
I'm just saying. Let's.
I was actually just looking at the division. I was like, man, if Green Bay goes 7-5 and if Minnesota ends up being 9-3, like, holy shit. But... All right, so now 8 wins for Green Bay.
We don't have to sit here. You know. Look, Green Bay won. Green Bay's good. I think Aaron Rodgers really salvaged the night for any fantasy owner. All right. Well, there you go. Green Bay, Detroit, 27-23. Probably
after being down 20-0, they came back to win it.
And on the road.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right, folks. Good note to end on. Everybody have a lovely and pleasant evening.
Peace.